The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, a special event, Monday edition, Joe Biden in Madison, Dominic in Madison, in the Madison studios. Welcome, Dominic.
Come on.
We got a fine guest right from the top of the hour here, Scott Ross. He's a Gemini. He's a firebrand. He's a trash talker on Twitter. And you were an honored guest at the Biden event, or at least, you know.
I was allowed in the neighborhood.
One level behind VIP, but, you know, close to VIP.
Yes, permitted in the neighborhood. It was great to see you all in my neighborhood. I actually live out by MATC Truax. So that was a lot of fun seeing some active folks out there. A president in town to talk about something that's critically important for the future of this country and the economy. And it was just a great day. Really great day. Topped off by having the two of you flanked to my left and right.
Oh, man. Scott, you've been talking about this issue for years, man. Years. How are you feeling right now?
I feel pretty good. I mean, again, the fight continues because despite, you know, Joe Biden, another plan from Joe Biden, the Republicans continue to block him every single step of the way. They got the Republican Supreme Court that, you know, stopped one of his other forgiveness programs that was going to put money into the pocket of people who are going to spend it in our economy. And, you know, but I feel great. I mean, it was great. It was a great event. You know, the governor was there. Congressman Pocan, the mayor, everybody was out there talking student debt, which is something I like to hear for sure. You know, and I'm 10 years. It's been 10 years since I made my last payment. I made my final student loan payment on my 44th birthday after having student debt for 26 years. So I'm a decade paroled from that. And the way that it made me feel to finally be done with that debt and what I was able to do with it economically just tells me how important it is that we keep forgiving and doing stuff about student loan debt.
Aren't you mad? I mean, you went through this. You took on that debt.
You paid your debts off, right, fella?
And now these, you know, these slackers, these kids, these young adults, these old adults, these folks that still haven't, Joe Biden's going to cut them a break.
Lazy Wisconsinites, as Tim Michaels would describe them.
How do you feel about that, Scott?
I love it. I mean, again, like, I don't claim to be an expert on a lot of things, but I can be your expert on, does somebody who paid student loan debt off think that we should forgive student loan debt? One, absolutely, yes, it's me. I absolutely believe that. And I think there are a ton of people out there. And I think that the great thing about that is it's not only a great economic issue, because when you have student loan debt, we did science at my old organization, God, 15 years ago, and it showed that if you have a student loan debt, you are twice as more likely to have a used car as opposed to a new car, and you're twice as likely to rent or live at home than have that embodiment of the middle class, a home of your own. Those are the two economic purchases that drive the American economy more than anything else. And we have been systematically denying them to student loan debt. This is a new thing, too. This isn't like a, you know, this is the last like 15 or 20 years that the sort of explosion in student loan debt happened. And, you know, again, in 2013, student debt was $1 trillion. We're now approaching, I think we've passed $2 trillion total of total student debt. That's not helping anybody. And I'll just say one other thing about the people who are like, well, you know, you should just pay off your loan. These loans are different than any other loans in commercial transactions in the United States of America. They're literally student loans have none of the protections that other commercial transactions have. Like, for instance, statute of limitations. Now, there's currently five crimes in jurisprudence that don't have statute of limitations. Murder, treason, war crimes, fraud, and I can't remember the other one because I'm not a lawyer, and student loan debt. So that's the way that we have allowed those debts to those loans to be treated.
You cannot discharge them in a bankruptcy proceeding.
Exactly. You can discharge any other loan you want. Donald Trump has been bankrupt 6 times, is able to discharge any of the loans he had he did, but we're not allowing borrowers because what happened was this is what happened. And again, like I'm a Democrat, but like Democrats have some blame from 25 years ago for this one because like they helped reduce all of the they helped take away some of those protections. You know, under Clinton, we privatized, the loan company. You know, Sally Mae became a private company. But what happened was, and I'm sorry, I'm sort of babbling on this, but what happened was, is that they made it so that no matter what happens, you can't lose those loans. So the banks are like, we will give these people as much as they want. Federal government's like, we will give you as much as you want because you can never lose them. It is a no lose situation because you're basically out of the economy if you default on your student debt. So good news coming, more to be done. And again, I think the thing to remember is there are two sides on this issue. There's the Democratic side, which says, let's do something about student debt. And the Republican side, which is we care only about the banks, you know, and we don't care about you. It's as simple as that.
He is Scott Ross. Republicans would tell you, Scott, just lift yourself up by your proverbial bootstraps, which of course is an impossibility, but that's their favorite mantra.
Yeah.
Then you'll get rich and they'll give you a tax cut.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, this is the question I'd ask. For all the Republican detractors out there, we passed $790 billion in PPP loans. $757 million of that was forgiven, including $300,000, $297,600 to known anti-socialist Robin Voss, our Speaker of the Assembly.
Were you
here
listening to our earlier segment on the devil's advocates?
That's just a fine reporting from Justin Poyen.
It's it's excellent points you make.
Thank you.
They bear repeating.
The Republicans perhaps would be an easier pill for them to swallow if they just looked at this as a tax cut. You know what I'm saying? And what's the pushback? Oh, all these people who've, you know, did their hard work and paid off their student loans, like you, like me, like Crudy, we did that. I'm not going to begrudge someone getting a break. You know, they're not explaining to the welder why the billionaire pays a lower tax rate than the welder does. They don't give a damn about that. They just pass their tax cuts, period. That's what they do. Why not they just look at this as another tax cut?
I think that's an excellent point. And again, politically, this is a no-brainer. So let me just say to the Democrats out there, any of them who are listening to you, and I know that all across the state that they are listening to you.
The world.
So world, if I may address you. There are a lot of jerks on planet Earth. We sure know that, right? The two hosts here are looking at one right now. But what I can say is this. There is nobody who is such a jerk that they're like, I was going to go out and vote for that Democrat, but they support doing something about student debt, so I'm going to go out now and I'm going to vote Republican. Right. That jerk doesn't exist. But on the other hand, you have 45 million student loan borrowers who every single month are reminded of their economic peril. And if Democrats were more active in saying, we're trying to do something about this, and define the Republicans as such of thwarting that effort, I think you got 45 million people who are educated, and they are the demographic literally most likely of any cohort. In any cohort in America, you talk about old people, you talk about young people, people who have student debt, have higher education, and people with higher education are by, you know, demographic studies more likely to be voters. So you're literally hitting the most likely voting target base, you know. And I know that people talk about, oh, you know, this is a college issue. This ain't a college issue, you know. You don't have the debt when you're in college. It's after you're out in the world.
Well, how many folks, you know, incur the debt and then never graduate or, you know, move on to other things and still have that there even though they don't have the degree?
And it's often the degree vets that are targeted because they have the GI Bill.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
the U.S. vets are some of the biggest debt holders in this equation.
Yep. And the for-profit college industry is literally domestic war profiteers because they, if something like 85% of their money comes from like GI Bill and from the federal government. Like simple as that, you know. And again, we set up all these things. We take 18-year-olds and say, if you want an education, you got to sign these pieces of paper. Like, what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to say, no, I'm not going to do it?
They gave me a credit card that year, too. Yeah, right. What a mistake. What a maroon.
And I got a t-shirt. MBNA, baby. Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal Scott Ross joining us in studio. Scott, I'm totally down with this. I think it's, you know, economically, politically, there's all sorts of reasons why this is a good idea. But what it doesn't do, and what I'm curious to your thoughts on, how do we address the, you know, skyrocketing cost of actual tuition in this country?
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what got us to here. States, like you say, your friends in the Republican, you know, in the Republican Party, focused everything on tax cuts instead of investment. And so, for instance, here in the state of Wisconsin, when in 1990, 10 cents of every general purpose revenue dollar in the state budget went to higher education. Under Walker, that fell to like under 3 cents. Ooh. You know, like a steady decline. And, you know, Tommy Thompson, that was during all of the, you know, the orgy of correction spending, when in the 1990s, Wisconsin went with something like, we went from, what did we do? We went from $186 million in the correction budget in 1986 to $1 billion by 2000. And our correction spending went, we grew by 550% over the decade of 1990 when Tommy was in. That was the highest in the nation. The number two was Pennsylvania, which was 275%. So we're literally like shifting our priorities. Yeah. Tax cuts and prisons, you know, instead of higher education and job training and thus job creation. And so that's where I think, you know, the system that you and I envision, where, well, you just do this, it doesn't exist anymore. It's like the Biff Tannen, you know, Back to the Future 2 timeline. Like, it doesn't exist anymore. We would have to go back 30 years or 40 years to get it back so that we could do and control costs. But we didn't control costs, and we made the money available. And guys like Scott Walker, for instance, every single budget of Scott Walker's over his 8 years kept 36,000 people were eligible for Pell Grants who couldn't get them under his budgets. You know, so again, all these things that we pretend, and, you know, we're all the same age, basically. I remember when we first started doing student debt back in 2009, we'd have, you know, our older friends say, well, when I went to college, I worked. You know, they don't do that anymore, which is awesome. They recognize it's a problem. Joe Biden recognizes a problem. The Republicans need to recognize it's a problem.
He is Scott Ross. He's off to name. Problem solver, troublemaker, friend of ours. We appreciate you coming in studio. You're going to stick around a bit longer. Here's my early grievance, Monday grievance. When I saw you doing, you know, Charles Benson and media hits, he's doing television, Dom, at the Biden, our friend Scott Ross, looking very dapper. And then you show up for our radio interview, and you look like Dominic.
Yeah. First of all, my segment was a Where Are They Now?
And it was Scott Ross. Where is he now? He's at the Joe Biden event now. He's in the WMDX studios with Dom and Crude. Come back. More Scott Ross. You as well, perhaps, on the phones. 844-967-2789. Cristo Obrigado.
The Devil's Advocates, tackling the issues you're not allowed to talk about at the dinner table.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines if you choose, 844-967-2789.
See, my congressman, Mark Pocan, on the CBS, he's like a block and a half away in his district office. Pocan was at the Joe Biden event. He preceded the president, and Scott, we saw him there, and I also saw some pro-Palestinian protesters, and I found it sort of a paradoxical situation, because in some small part, Joe is obviously trying to lift the economy by lifting young people, and, you know, I don't think Brian Stahel, who's complaining, he's trying to buy votes. Well, if you want to call it that, but I think he's trying to give relief to student debt. But that does, I think, appeal to some of the younger voters. Now, Joe's had a lack of enthusiasm, they tell us, the pollsters tell us, Scott, with the younger voters. And some of that manifests in the Palestinian, pro-Palestinian protest. But today, the crowd, I thought, was more student section than alumni section. They seemed a little younger and a little louder. So, Scott, you know, these contrary polls to the presidency, Obviously, they're not related issues, but how do you think Joe's doing with the young kids, at least today?
I mean, I saw enthusiasm, but I also, I rode my bicycle to MATC to see the president, which is the most Madison thing I think I've ever said in my entire life. But yeah, I mean, I live over, you know, like by the armory. So like I could just ride there and I went through, to get my bike, I had to walk through the protesters who were older, like chatted with them a little bit about stuff, you know? But you know, interestingly enough, you mentioned Mark Pocan. They asked me, they're like, why aren't the Democrats doing anything about this? And I said, well, I think that Congressman Pocan and Congresswoman Schakowsky's plan to stop sending weapons to Israel is exactly the kind of, you know, the kind of move that's not only going to be helpful from a policy standpoint, but I think also politically. And it was good, you know, and they said, oh, you know, very interesting, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then I went in and I saw the folks there. But there were tons of students outside, you know, outside of MATC and inside. And that's great. Like, I go over there. I go to MATC and hang out and I write, you know, because I've been writing a play. And I spent, like, last fall, like, many days out there, you know, amongst the students.
You got a part for Crudy in that play?
100%. 100%.
Big, handsome, bald guy?
Is there any other kind of the
romantic lead, perhaps?
Hey, there's no love in this thing. It's about politics, so there's no love.
There's no love in politics.
I love politics, Scott Ross, our fine guest here in the Madison studios. Scott, we've got lots of political issues, but the one I'm looking forward to the most is probably when the former president goes to trial about a week from today. Do you got that one circled, or is just tax day you circle on your calendar?
Well, you know, it's like Scott Walker says, why do we support April 15th when we should be saying, anyway,
we celebrate tax day? Yeah. We celebrate Independence Day.
Exactly. So, no, I mean, it's extraordinary. It's unprecedented. And, you know, again, I just hope that voters aren't getting, because it's so overwhelming, the breadth of his corruption, his racism, his incompetence, his extremism, his fascism, his calls for, you know, dictatorial power, you know, his attacks on women. I'm afraid that it gets start getting desensitized. And that's when you talk about, like what you were talking about before, the lack of enthusiasm in some voters. I get it. It's difficult. You know, you're like, okay, Joe Biden has done a fantastic job. I think he's been as productive a president as we have had in the last like 30 years. But, like, he's not an exciting guy. He's a guy who gets things done. He's the guy you hire to get things done. And he gets things done. And it's less exotic, you know, to the press and stuff. I mean, my God, like, the Times and those groups, they'd die to have Donald Trump back because their, you know, circulation spiked after he, you know, after he won in 2016. So,
but don't you think that the more we remember Trump, the more he's focused upon, the media focuses upon his daily outrages? I mean, some people have to be getting PTSD going, oh my God, that's what it was like. I forgot what it was like. I think he is the turnout machine for both parties.
Yeah, I do too. But the thing is that we'll turn out more than they will. You know, again, we have to do the work, right? Democrats have to do the work. In 2016, we were basically abandoned here in Michigan. There weren't ads up. They weren't spending. They thought they had it. That's never going to happen again. What happened in 2016... The one upside to it is Wisconsin is never going to be ignored again because of our importance and because of the fact we are a swing state. But what we see over and over again and again, what are we talking about? Like 17 of the last 19 statewide elections are, you know, I count the treasurer. So what, 17 of the last 20 elections, statewide elections since Trump, you know, in 2016, Democrats have won here because we get our voters out, you know, and none of those races except for one had Trump in it, you know? So it's a matter of making sure you get your people out to the polls. And he does define our side. What upsets me and what I think is a tactical mistake is when Democrats say we shouldn't talk about that because it might enrage Trump voters. That's nonsense. You know, you have to talk about the problems this guy has because he is an existential threat to democracy. And that's what you have to remember every single day, because we won't get this one back. We lose this one, it's over. Because we've already heard what he's going to say and do.
Scott, would you prefer we ask what your favorite kind of ice cream is?
I'm a vanilla guy. Love vanilla. Love, love, love vanilla.
You know, Joe, both strawberry and chocolate chip cookie dough. Puts it on the same cone. You know, the real important stuff.
Very nice.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's our pal, Scott Ross, for just a couple more minutes. Scott, with the trials coming up, you know, we're going to be reminded, number one, of the things that Donald Trump has done. And he very well may have a conviction. And we start a trial here in Manhattan next week, a week from today, 6 weeks, you know, a couple weeks out. I mean, how long could that take? And then
by our shared birthday week, you and I and Scott Ross.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
June,
and
by the time
a birthday present.
The RNC comes rolling around, of course, Trump's birthday too. By the time the RNC rolls around, he could be on trial on another case. I see this as this perpetual headwind against Donald Trump, and I just wonder how many people you think, generally speaking, are paying attention right now.
I mean, that's the thing. I don't know that that's the case, and I think that's what you see in some of this polling, because we have pollsters out there who are polling, you know, registered voters. Like, if you're doing a campaign, you want to find out from the voter file who are the most likely voters to vote in that election by knowing how they voted in the past or their proclivity to vote in this election. That's how you determine the science on it. If you're just polling, you know, registered voters, you don't know if they made their choice or not. Now, if it's a week before the election and you say, are you a likely voter? And somebody says, yes, I am, and they're a registered voter, chances are they are actually going to vote. But like right now, these polls are trash. They're just trash. It doesn't help, you know, the idea that we focus on the horse race and that instead of the issues that are facing things.
But when folks start paying attention, right, when they start, how far away removed from the election do you think folks actually start trying to really, really digest what's going on?
I mean,
if you're not like us, you know what I mean?
It's hard right now to say, only because, like, it's so horrible that you're, like, running from it in, you know, you're resigning in disgust is not the same thing as apathy.
And we didn't really have a full-fledged primary process this time.
Oh, we did not. On either side.
On either side.
Yeah.
Better you say either than I say either, because I struggle with that word occasionally.
Fair
Scott
enough.
Ross, great to see you, buddy.
Fabulous to be here.
Yeah,
thank
hey,
you
congratulations, man. You've been pounding this drum on the student debt relief for a long, long time. It's great to see something come out of it, man, and thank you for bringing it to our attention.
And for getting married. You finally posted the photos.
Yeah, right?
It was like I thought you got married again for the very first time.
Yeah, congrats, man.
Thank you.
Married man, Scott Ross, thanks for coming around. More Devil's Advocates. You could be a part. 844-967-2789. You might as well be walking on the sun.
The Devil's Advocates may not agree on much, but funny is funny. I see
the moon rising. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a special Monday, because Dom's here, and we just had Scott Ross here. Thank you to our most recent guest, a fine one. He's a power tweeter. He's biking to what the movies, going to the movies, man. Went to Joe Biden's.
Oh, living his best life, man. Thank you,
and
Scott Ross.
Comes on the Devil's Advocates radio show, so that's a big deal for most people, at least for us. Thank you, Scott. Headline caught my attention over at the Journal Sentinel. Dom, he's anointed. Donald Trump's Wisconsin faithful cloak the 2024 race in a messianic zeal.
Oh, it's messy, all right.
Dom, the reporting at the Journal Sentinel, Dateline. And this is perhaps the first time I've ever seen this dateline. Dateline, New London.
Yeah, man. You know, I grew up in Stevensville, which was, you know, not too
down the
far,
road from Hortonville.
Which is right down the road from New London.
And so Greenville.
I used to go to New London, man, and go to the DQ and get myself a chili dog because they had the DQ. It was big, big, very important back then.
Lips and you know what? Very good for you. While Packet County Republicans sat down for their Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner.
What?
It used to be Lincoln-Reagan dinners. Now it's Lincoln-Reagan-Trump dinner here late last month. They bowed their heads for a prayer centered squarely on November. A local pastor began by saying, "We pray for those upcoming elections and asking God to be with every ballot box or be with every voting station."
What?
He hoped young people would see that America needs their votes.
God
Those are
with,
quotes.
God is with every ballot box or with every polling voting station.
Dominic, not long after, my buddy, local conservative radio host Joe Giangante, stood before the crowd of about 200 people and invoked God once more. He was direct. And I take this a little personal, Joe. This is really a battle of Republicans versus Democrats. it's even a battle of conservatives versus liberal. It's a battle between good and evil, God and the devil. Giganti said to cheers and whistles, we must choose God. Joe, you chose poorly.
What did Trump say? We got to be pro-God when he was hawking the Bibles. I mean, come on, man.
Make America pray again.
Uh-huh. Good and evil? I mean, so what? If you were to look, you know, look at what you perceive to be, I don't know, I'm not a religious man, Crudy, you know that, but the Antichrist. You know, I don't know, if there was an Antichrist, wouldn't Trump seemingly maybe fit the bill? I'm just throwing it out there, Joe.
Well, the comb-overs to cover the 666.
Yeah.
Dom, the remarks of a gathering of local Republicans in rural Wisconsin, that's Waupaca, right? About 40 miles west of Green Bay, reflected a snapshot of how some Republican base voters in a swing state view the rematch between President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump this November. Trump still has a hill to climb in Wisconsin, you don't say. Nearly 60% of voters see the former president as unfavorable, and more than 120,000 Republican voters picked someone else in last Tuesday's presidential primary. Someone else, anybody but Trump, right? And overall enthusiasm trails levels from 4 years ago. Yes, I think that's true. Trump was the incumbent in 2020. Trump was the incumbent this year. Trump bled 13,000 votes in 2020. He bled 120,000 Republican votes. People that got out and voted, no other Republicans up and down the ballot, but they got out and voted against Donald Trump. Those are motivated voters.
But Crudy, recent interviews show zeal for Trump within the grassroots of Wisconsin GOP has not dampened. In New London, guests dined in front of a life-size cardboard cutouts of Abraham Lincoln, Ronald Reagan, and Trump.
Trump's is a little whiter than the others.
They ate brownies with Trump flags and entered a raffle for a Trump 2024 shotgun with the words, "Take America Back," printed under the gun's loading port.
Good for robbing banks.
A week ago, those signs were on display again as Trump swept into Green Bay on Tuesday for his first campaign stop in Wisconsin of the election cycle.
Chasing teenagers off your lawn.
There, Trump rallied against, railed against Biden over his handling of illegal immigration and again dove into his signature issue, the 2020 election. As if it were at a Packers home opener, the crowd loudly embraced his false claims that election malfeasance snatched a re-election victory from him. I tell you, it's a pretty incredible level of enthusiasm and support that people have for President Trump, said Doug Reich, the chairman of the Republican Party of Brown County, who attended Tuesday's rally during an early April snow. I was honestly just taken aback a little bit by how many people braved the elements just to get in.
They had it at the Hyatt downtown. It wasn't an enormous rally, just for the record, but our friend Jim Schmidt, the former mayor of Green Bay, did say there were a lot of faithful waiting in line to see Trump at the Hyatt.
The rally took place as the percentage of voters feeling very enthusiastic about voting this year has dropped from January 2020 to January of this year by nearly 20 percentage points. The drop is largely driven by Democrats concerned about Biden's appeal, poll director Charles Franklin said, and has increased since the president's State of the Union address.
Told you.
While voters in the camps of both major parties are struggling to match previous enthusiasm levels, supporters of Trump are further ahead than those of Biden, he said. Broadly, that in terms of favorability towards Trump, Republicans were more favorable towards him in January of 2020 than they are today. But his favorability generally and with Republicans has been improving over the last year, so he's not in terrible shape.
Until he gets convicted in the New York courts.
That's going to be problematic, Curdy. On enthusiasm, Trump supporters are way more enthusiastic than Biden supporters. Well, it's funny. I mean, you know, cult members tend to be a little more enthusiastic than non-cult members.
You know, they're quoting Charles Franklin. He was on the show last week. Charles, always a great source. Those that found Biden to be unfavorable, 61%. 50% of those are going to vote for him anyways. And that is not as much a vote for Joe Biden. And, you know, I saw Joe Biden today. Yeah, I'm there for Biden, but I'm there against Trump just as much, if not more so. I think there's a lot of people to reflect my sentiments now.
I think you're right. Another recent guest, Ben Wickler, the chair of the Democratic Party of the state of Wisconsin, said this. What's striking when you look at the GOP is that there's a core of very enthusiastic diehard Trumpers, and then a much larger group of voters who really can't stand the idea of a Trump presidency, sometimes with extraordinary passion. He's talking about you, Crudy.
He might be.
You can see that division within the Republican Party in the Republican presidential primary results, with 124,000 voters in the Republican primary rejecting the nominee, not based on any policy disagreement that has been discernible, but really just saying they don't want Trump.
That's good enough for me.
But what about the faithful, Crudy? You know, he's the new Messiah.
He has risen on Easter Sunday now. On Tuesday, the Trump faithful, this is back to last week, withstood rain and sleet while waiting in line to get into the rally in downtown Green Bay. Now, they go through a number of people. Robin, 59, drove down from Burlington in southeastern Wisconsin to Green Bay, arrived 4 hours early, just like Don would do.
Yeah, no.
I could not pass up the opportunity to see my president, she said, wearing a pink Women for Trump baseball cap. He hasn't been to Wisconsin in a long time, and I knew nothing was going to stop me. Two friends, Pam and Jeanne of Black Creek, said Tuesday's rally was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity and have supported Trump since 2016. They believe his faith aligns with theirs, Tom. Wow. They've merged their agendas. He's anointed from God.
That's just ridiculous talk.
He's on a mission from God. He's got half a pack of smokes.
Full tank of gas. It's
wearing sunglasses at
night. Nighttime. Yep. Hit it.
Most rally attendees interviewed at Tuesday's event told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel the issue key to their support, immigration. We should have secure borders, lower the inflation rate, lower crime, and then lower gas prices, said Nate Cromrie, a University of Wisconsin Green Bay freshman, and said this fall election will be his first vote as a voter.
Oh, come on, Nate. You can hear us up in Green Bay, can't you?
WGBW 97.9 FM, 1590 AM. You can hear us all the way to Sweden. The guy sent a letter overnight. I responded. Sure enough, he had captured 1590 AM in Sweden.
So you can do it in Green Bay. Nate, call us 844-967-2789.
And parts north of Green Bay as well. Immigration and the economy were on the top of the minds of voters Tuesday, reflecting the priorities of Wisconsin's voters broadly, according to Franklin. Trump has a big advantage in which candidates would handle the issue better, Franklin said. Biden has had on abortion policy, but not nearly as much as Trump is on those first two issues. Joel Bartel, chairman of the Wapaka County GOP, what an esteemed position. I think it's just slowly getting stronger. Have you gone to the grocery store today? I think a lot of it's the economy. I really do. So it's the economy, stupid?
Well, no. Elsewhere, Crudy, Republicans expressed concerns over election security. Some reiterated, shockingly, right, Trump's false claims that he won the state in 2020.
I've got some sound from Eric Hudvey. He very much seemingly wanted to parrot the former president. You know, he recently got his endorsement at the rally last Tuesday.
Some reiterated Trump's claims that he won the state despite recounts, court rulings, and a nonpartisan audit, a state audit, confirming Biden's about 21,000 vote victory. We're definitely going to win Wisconsin for Trump, said Chris Martinson of New London. But the question is, will it get stolen again like it did in 2020? But even with an energized fan base, there are serious warning signs for Trump in Wisconsin. Former president just won just over 78% of the vote in the primary. But more than 120,000 Republican primary voters chose someone else over the former president, a potentially troubling figure in a state where the last two presidential elections were decided by just over 20,000 votes. Local Republican leaders, however, brushed off questions about the results. Bartel from Wapaka County, Chain of Lakes, shout out, said he was not concerned at all about 20% of the Republicans choosing candidates who had dropped out of the race and predicted they would line up behind Trump as a nominee in November. Reich, the Brown County GOP chairman, said that there should be debate within the party over its leadership. I think those people, though, will come around to Trump. Obviously, as Republicans, we share a lot more in common with one another. Even the folks that maybe supported Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis initially, we clearly have a lot more in common with each other than we do with the Democrats.
Trump is effectively the prodigal son.
He's anointed by God. I mean, how do you? What's the response to that, Curtie? You're a faithful man. When someone says, "Well, you're anointed by God to be our president," what do you think when you hear something like that?
I would just point towards the immigration policy set forth by a guy, Jesus Christ.
He said what?
It wasn't take the babies from the mothers.
It wasn't round them up and
deport them, mass deportations.
No, that wasn't it.
That was not the biblical attitude.
Wow, maybe that part got cut out
in the God Bless America Bible. Yeah. He owns many Bibles. So.
Many. He has many. That's his favorite book.
Many leather-bound books.
And his office smells of rich mahogany.
844-967-2789. When he throws the sign, I think there's time for at least one here. Mike from Cedarburg. Welcome, Michael. What do you got for us?
Hi, Mike.
Best news I heard today. Trump's $175 million bond ain't worth the paper it's printed on.
Did you hear that? It's just thoughts and prayers, that piece of paper.
For one, they put on the bond that Trump's liable to pay. Well, that ain't how bonds work, apparently.
Right. Apparently, I was wrong about everything, Mike.
And then they're not even licensed in the state of New York. And then they don't have assets to even cover the bond. Well, that sounds like a real good bond there.
Did the bond guy have to go and get a bond?
Right. I don't know, but he doesn't have enough liquid assets to cover the $175 million.
That seems problematic, does it not, Mike?
Michael,
it seems like they're going to have him back in court and demanding the $475 million, or his property's going bye-bye. Good news.
Well, you may find this as more good news. There's a headline here at the Raw Story, one of my favored aggregators. Judge denies Trump's last-minute effort to delay criminal hush money trial.
Again?
Voter deception trial, I would call it. That means 1 week from today. Game on! Couldn't come quick enough. This year, tax day is going to feel like Christmas.
Yeah, baby.
844-967-2789. You can join us. Joe Biden. He was in my hometown. It is a special event Monday edition. I got Dom right here with me. I got you on the phones at 844-967-2789. Could be a really good day if my retinas aren't burned.
Good luck.
I'm seeing spots.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
Yeah, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open. Going there next at 844-967-2789.
Dom, checking out the text line, WMDX style. I walked out of my house just as Air Force One flew over when the president left. Cooler than the partial eclipse for my money. Well, effectively, if you'd have looked up and stared at the sun, as some of us did, you could have seen both in the same vision field. The eclipse was going on. Joe took flight. Air Force One took flight like 8 minutes before peak eclipse.
So if you were, looking at the sun, you could actually see Air Force One. Perhaps Air Force One would have eclipsed the eclipse.
Oh. Joe touched down in Chicago 2:32 p.m. He had another function. He's going to be back doing a press conference later today on the White House.
I'm a busy man. Trump next week's going to be in a Manhattan courthouse probably for jury selection.
I bet he's golfing today.
He's anointed by God, according to WAPACA Republicans. What could possibly go wrong?
He's funded by the LIV and Saudi money. Did you see he was hosting another LIV golf tournament this weekend?
Oh, I did not. No.
So the Saudis cannot directly give to this presidential candidate. But they can rent all his golf courses for their LIV events. This is the PGA Tour breakoff. And the LIV was at the Trump International. I forget which one. But they were at a Trump course.
Well, now you don't even need to worry about funneling, laundering money through this golf association. You could just buy direct. DJT, man. He's publicly traded.
Now, my understanding is the stock is tanking a little bit, but fear you not, I hear it on very good advice from Devin Nunes, that corporation that generated, like $3.2 million in revenue.
I was over four over the course of the entire year.
But you didn't hear the best part.
What?
$750,000 of that was in the fourth quarter. And I'm doing a little back of the envelope math and thinking, that's not a great trajectory. That's like $250,000 a month, right? $750 over a quarter, 3 months. That would be about $3 million a year, which is less revenue than you generated
annualizing earlier
in the year. So if you took the fourth quarter and project out, you're at $3 million annually. They did just a little better than that on, what, just under $60 million in expenses? But Devin Nunes, you remember the former congressman?
Did he get like a signing bonus or something? I mean, they're all getting paid.
He got a $750,000 retention bonus this week, Dom.
Come on.
And then he went out there and he made a statement. You don't understand the truth. He's social. The fact that, you know, two of the founders have just pled guilty to insider trading and there's a lawsuit.
Against a couple of other guys that were
Yes, Trump is trying to push out the other co-founders, the Celebrity Apprentice people. And, you know, of course, the underlying financials would seem to indicate that this is a worthless stock, but, you know, they want it to be true, Dom. So the messianic Trump supportive, they're propping up the stock prices.
I mean, it's almost like selling the church selling indulgences back in the day.
But Devin Nunes assures us all, here's the great news.
What's that?
Sure, the revenue structure is upside down. Sure, the valuation is grossly inflated.
But?
They have no debt.
All right.
Well, you keep losing $60 million a year, you're going to have some debt sooner or later, right, Dom?
Not going to make it up on volume. 844-967-2789. Just pray on it. John from Boaz, you will be next. Welcome, John. What do you got
today?
Hey,
John.
Hi. This is the greatest radio show ever.
Say it twice.
This no, is that's the okay. greatest radio show ever.
Say it a third time. Crudy appears in the mirror.
Don't do it, John. Don't do it. You don't want to see me in your mirror.
We are still talking about the Donald Trump versus Biden. And just remember that I had said in the past that Trump emotionally and psychologically compares with Hitler. Because Hitler tried the beer hall push in 1923, and Donald Trump tried the revolution in a couple of years ago. But the same thing is he's...
Yeah, you know, and thanks for the call, John. The comparison was articulated, I thought, very well over the weekend between Donald Trump and Hitler. Tom Hartman, I believe it was, put a piece up out there saying, now we know how Hitler did it, and comparing all the different activities and verbiage and propaganda engaged by both, you know, Hitler and his regime and Trump and his cohorts. Thanks for the call, ma'am. 844-967-2789.
Hey, Dom. I want to turn it back to the Truthy Social for just a minute.
Yeah.
Former President Donald Trump's media company has been connected with an auditing firm with a string of regulatory issues to a league of lingerie fighters, spurring a hilarious uproar on social media Monday.
What?
I'm shocked. Shocked, I tell you, replied conservative attorney George Conway.
Oh, my God.
What would they tell us next? That his appellate bond might not be any good? Oh, wait. Now, Conway is referencing the film Casablanca, the ongoing legal battle over the $175 million civil bond challenged by the New York Attorney General Letitia James. In a new Bloomberg report about B.F. Borgers, the Colorado accounting firm that audits Trump's media's finances, a Canadian regulator said last year that B.F. Borgers violated its rules for auditors, while the U.S. Public Company Accounting Oversight Board found multiple deficiencies in every audit it reviewed from the firm over the past two annual checks, according to Bloomberg, and closely held companies often retained audit firms after going public through mergers with blank check companies. But most of B.F. Borger's clients, such as the Lingerie Fighting Championship Incorporated a mixed martial arts league are significantly smaller than Trump's media business, the Lingerie League, Dom, a very esteemed client. And this news comes 2 weeks after Trump media stock first hit the public exchanges and saw its price skyrocket and then go into free fall as the SEC, that's the Securities Exchange Commission, revealed the company had lost $58 million in 2023. Monday's news of Trump Media's auditor having a string of regulatory issues and odd clientele hit social media with a bang to rival the company's opening day on the exchange, a 100% deficiency rate, and the Lingerie Fighting Championship, replied Bill Carter from the New York Times. What could be more Trump? Indeed.
Trump trading, or at least close, I guess, at 37.20. As of right now, in after hours trading, closed down over 8% today. I'd buy.